All right. Well, it is really, truly a pleasure to be with you. You know, last week, Melissa and I were way up in Scotland, and we just needed a week to switch off, a week of holiday, but coming here this week, I didn't laugh as hard last week as I did this week. I honestly didn't have as much fun last week as I did this week. And last week, I was on holiday, and I didn't have to do any work. And this week, I do a lot of work. But I'm absolutely enjoying myself with you. And if it weren't for you, young people, it just wouldn't happen. I wouldn't be having this fun. Yeah, it's work, but it's fun. I'm really enjoying myself. So thank you so much for being enthusiastic and really enjoying yourselves. Just as a bit of an opener, if you want, you can take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 1. We're not going to read there just yet, but you can get a head start. As you know, the theme this week is explore, encounter, and now we're on day 6. Mankind. Animals and man were made on the 6th day. But I want to give you some facts and figures about us. Yesterday, Kevin gave us some facts and figures about animals and all sorts, and that was really, really cool. I was just absolutely amazed how some of these animals can just fly, these birds can fly for thousands of miles, non-stop. You know, the furthest I've ever driven in a car, I did have a couple of stops, I must admit, but the furthest in one trip was 19 hours, and I was shattered by the end of it. But in order to go for 19 hours, you know, it wasn't more than 2,000, 2,500 miles. Some of these birds can go 8,000 miles without stopping. That's just amazing. So I really appreciated the things that Kev shared yesterday. But sometimes you just have to look at who you are to think, wow, we've got an amazing God. So I want to give you some facts and figures. Some are quite funny. Some are just kind of, wow, didn't know that. The first one is quite shocking. How about this one? Humans shed about 600,000 particles of skin every hour. Oh. Guys, take a shower tonight, please. All right, the next one. A human body has over 60 more bones. A human baby body. Misread it. A human baby has over 60 more bones than an adult. The bones haven't joined up together yet. How about this one? There are 100,000 miles of blood vessels in an adult human body. 100,000 miles. Does anyone know at the largest point of the planet, how far is it to go from point A all the way around to where you started? And anyone know in miles how many that is? A lot, yeah. That's 25,000 miles. By the time you're an adult, you've got 4 times the length of that in blood vessels in your body. That's amazing. All right, how about this one? The average person produces about 25,000 quarts or 28,000 liters of saliva in a lifetime, enough to fill 2 swimming pools. Let's go swimming! Here's one that's a bit shocking. Your body has enough iron in it to make a metal nail 3 inches long. Some spiky personalities out there. Right. We all have tiny mites living in our eyelashes. Want to see them? All right. How about this one? You're going to love this one. The strongest muscle in the body is usually said to be the gluteus maximus. How about this one? Sweat itself is odorless. Did you know that? It's the bacteria on the skin that mingles with it and produces body odor. So girls, just because you sweat, it's not the end of the world. But when it mixes with the bacteria, go hide. All right. Next one. The ears and nose never stop growing. I'm not talking about Pinocchio either. Similar to fingerprints, everyone also has a unique tongue print. You know, last time I got arrested, they put ink on my tongue. Right. How about the next one? When awake, the human brain produces enough electricity to power a small light bulb. Some of you haven't produced enough today yet. Next one. Human bones are, ounce for ounce, stronger than steel. If you were to make a look-alike bone out of steel, the exact same thinness, the exact same density as a bone, the steel would break before the bone. That's pretty cool. How about this one? The human eye can distinguish about 10 million different colors. That's amazing. I think that's really amazing. We spend about 10% of our waking hours with our eyes closed, blinking. Interesting. You in the back, you're asleep. You get more of that percentage in. How about the next one? If the human eye was a digital camera, it would have 576 megapixels. Now, for those of you who don't know cameras, I'm going to put someone on the spot. Anna, how many megapixels does your camera have? 24. You're not sure. Well, I've got a fairly fancy digital camera, and it has 14 megapixels, and that produces some really, really high-quality pictures. In fact, I took a picture of in London, the Parliament Building, Westminster, all that, from the London Eye, and had it put on a canvas, and it looked stunning. That was with a 14-megapixel camera. Your eyes have the equivalent of 576 megapixels. Canon can't hold a candle to your eyes. How about this one? All the bacteria in our body collectively weighs about 4 pounds. Some of you have some bacteria to shed tonight. All right, the next one. Guys, you're going to like this one. The human body produces about a liter of mucus every day. Why do they think, why do you are told to hold, to cover your mouth when you sneeze? Liter of mucus. Whew. Anyone have a liter bottle in here? Half liter bottle? Anyone? No? You know what they look like. Two of those half-liter bottles, you produce that much mucus in a day. Next one. Your brain uses 20% of the total oxygen and blood in your body. 20% of it up here, the other 80% down lower. How about this one? There's more bacteria in your mouth than there are people in the world. How many people are in the world? Raise your hand, approximately. Isaac?
About 7.5 billion.
7.5 billion, and you've got more bacteria here than there are people on the planet. Some of you need to brush your teeth, because you can maybe double that. Anyway. All right. Every day, your heart creates enough energy to drive a truck for 20 miles. I find it hard to walk 5 miles or 6 miles. That's amazing. Oh, some of you got some housekeeping to do with the next one. Most of the dust underneath your bed is actually your own dead skin. When you get home, get hoovering under the bed. How about this one? Your brain keeps developing until your late 40s. I'm not going to make any comments about the adults in here. We'll just keep moving. I love this next one. Can't really read it. I'm just going to read it up here. Human fingers can feel objects as small as 13 nanometers. If your finger was the size of the Earth, you would feel the difference between houses and cars.
What?
Think of the planets you've seen on the screen, planet Earth, and think of having a finger just as big as that and touching it. You'd feel the difference between a house and a car. That's pretty amazing. How about this? Your taste buds are replaced every 10 days. The average age of a human fat cell is 10 years. Woo! Lay off the chocolate. Guys, you like this one? If your stomach acid got onto your skin, it would burn a hole in it. I prefer to keep it in here. Okay, another reason to cover your mouth when you cough, even when there's nobody in the room. Come on, let's just come out with an admission. Do some of you not cover your mouth when no one else is in the room? I got to raise my hand. Yeah. Don't do it. Thanks, Rusty. Appreciate it. A strong cough forces air out of the airways at speeds of up to 1,000 kilometers per hour, almost as fast as the speed of sound. That's amazing. How many of you either live in a terrace home or a semi-detached house? Any of you? Okay, we live in a semi. Okay, put your hands down. Do you ever hear the neighbors coughing next door?
Yeah.
I can hear neighbors coughing next door, but I can't hear them talking. Okay, here it goes. Brains, pick up speed here. Your brain can recognize a sound 10 times faster than the blink of an eye. That's pretty cool. Girls, you've seen enough grotesqueness on the screen. You're going to like this one. I'm not kidding with you. You're going to like this one. Your hair contains traces of gold. Don't go shaving your head and sell it, okay? The last one. 80% of what we learn is through our eyes. 80% of what we've learned is through our eyes. How come we preachers use PowerPoints? How come a 92-year-old in my church loves it when we use PowerPoint? Because she said it helps me stay with you. So 80% of what we learn is through our eyes. We have some really, really amazing human bodies. Wouldn't you agree? None of that could have happened by chance. I mean, all that stuff. I can't dream of all this stuff. I didn't know half of this stuff until I looked it up. It's just amazing. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 27. We're going to see where our amazing God began all this in the human body. Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female, he created them. Skip over to chapter 2, verse 7, please. The word of God says, "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Man became a living soul. How many atoms are there in the Bible? Actually, there's two. There's two atoms in the Bible. Now, what we need to realize that there's a first Adam and there's a last Adam. We need to realize how important it is to understand who the last Adam is. I'm quite sure all of you know who the first Adam is. But we need to know, more importantly, who the second Adam is. So Adam, day six, mankind. The Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground. Man became a living soul. Adam was perfect. There's nothing wrong with him. Eve could have stood up one day and said, "I have the perfect husband," and she wouldn't have been telling a lie. Adam could have stood up and said, "I've got the most perfect wife ever," and he wouldn't have been biased at all, because she was literally perfect. He was literally perfect. None of us can claim that. My wife might love me enough not to spill the beans about my faults, but honestly, I've got plenty of faults. They were placed in a garden. They were plants, animals. But Adam was different. Adam and Eve, they were different. They were made in the image of God. They knew the difference between right and wrong. They had a moral compass, so to speak. God placed that in him because it's part of his image. It's part of who he is, and he put that in people. And you still have that. You have the image of God in you. The ability to plan for the future. In our devotion group, we talked about this yesterday. The ability to think about the future. Animals don't really have an ability to think about the future. They've got instincts, maybe even some magnets, but they don't really have the ability to think about the future. The Bible says that God feeds the birds. You know, someone told me, well, don't start feeding the birds in your garden and then not feed them, because they'll become so dependent upon you that they'll die. Guess what? I did it, and I didn't find dead birds all over the ground. They went out and found their own food. God provided for them. But they didn't have the ability to think about the future. They wake up today and they think, food. I know some of you teenage guys, you wake up and you think, food. But that's different. We have the ability to think about, well, what's going to happen to me in the future because this happened to me in the past. You ever thought about that before? Yeah? That's thinking about the future. Animals can't do that. It's because you've got the image of God in you. Humans have the ability to love unconditionally. Now you might think, my dog loves me. My cat loves me. They have an affection for you. And by instinct, they grow to trust you. And they might even like stroking. And they might lick your face. Dogs lick shoes. Don't let them lick your faces. Anyway. But it's not unconditional love. It isn't. Because if you begin to mistreat that animal, and mistreat it, and mistreat it, and mistreat it, which you shouldn't do, but if you did, guess what might happen, especially if it's a pit bull? It's going to turn on you. A human has the ability to turn that off and say, I love you no matter what. That's the image of God in you. You don't have that ability aside from the image of God. Now, even unbelievers can understand what love is. Now, they can't understand unconditional love like Christ explains it. But they do have a concept of the unconditionality of love. Why? Because of God's image in them. You are specially made. How do you know that? Your body fights infection. Isn't that cool? You've got blood in your body that doesn't really look like blood. Because you've grown to think that blood looks what color? Red. Well, you've got white blood too. Right, G? Or up here. You've got white blood cells. What do? You got a cut on your arm. What rushes to the surface to fight infection? White blood cells. It's an all-out battle to kill off that infection. Now, doctors may prescribe you medicine, but the medicine doesn't heal you. You realize that? The medicine helps to fight off the bad stuff so that your body can heal itself. Man can't heal a body. Only someone with the power of Christ, like apostles. Rise up and walk, that kind of thing. Come out from the dead, Lazarus, that sort of thing. But that's only with the miraculous power of God. We don't have the power to heal people. God made your body so beautifully and wonderfully made. Now, this might gross you out, but this is just an amazing thing about your body. If by some tragic event you lost your thumb, and your thumb is really, really important. How many of you threw a water balloon today? Threw a water balloon? Yeah, most everybody put your hands down. Did you need your thumb to throw that water balloon? You did. What if by some tragic accident, got cut off, saw, whatever, car accident, whatever, did you realize that they could take your toe, sew it on? Yeah. It will not only work, but it will shrink about a third of the size, and it will look almost very, very similar to another thumb. That's just amazing. Evolution doesn't do that. That's what God does. You are beautiful because God made you. Beautifully and wonderfully made. That is how Adam was made. And even despite the consequences of sin, which we'll get to in a moment, you're still beautifully and wonderfully made. How about this? Once man and woman were placed into the garden, you know what they did. They took of the forbidden fruit. They ate what they shouldn't have done. Satan came in, he tempted them with disobedience. It was a test of loyalty, it was a test of their faith, and they failed. They're fallen from grace. They weren't on speaking terms with God anymore. They felt like they had to go hide behind something so God wouldn't see them. It felt like unholiness couldn't be in the presence of holiness. And that is true. But they couldn't hide from God. So now when God came looking for them, they were in dire need of someone else to die or something else to die and atone and pay for the sin, lest they die and spend an eternity in hell separated from God. They needed to restore that relationship. They needed to accept God on His terms. I've met a lot of people who want to accept God on their own terms. And they never come to know that beautiful, restored relationship with God. Because they say, God, my way, I'll do a little this religion, a little that. Oh my word, that's just a really mixed up person. Jesus said that He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by Him. There was something needed to help Adam and Eve get right with God. There was something, likely a lamb, that needed to die to provide the skins to cover their now naked bodies. They were naked before, but without the presence of sin, there wasn't such thing as embarrassing nakedness. All nakedness is embarrassing now. But there wasn't such a thing. It wasn't even in the mind. There wasn't lust on the earth then. It wasn't nakedness as you and I think of it. But now they were. They understood that there weren't any other humans on the world. Why were they embarrassed? Because sin made them aware of the embarrassment of it. You may be thinking, well, what did the animals do wrong to deserve death? Anybody know? What did that animal do wrong to deserve death? Nothing. Nothing. Then why was the animal chosen? Why was the animal chosen? Here's the answer. Adam and Eve needed something incapable of sinning to pay for their sins. That's what they needed. The lamb's skins were used to cover them, to clothe their bodies, and they were banished from the Garden of Eden. Turn in your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 5, and verse number 12. Some people say the Old Testament doesn't matter. The first 11 chapters of Genesis doesn't really matter. But it is amazing how many times the New Testament refers to those first 11 chapters. Some people who accept the New Testament as God's Word don't accept the Old Testament. You can't do that. Because Jesus quoted the Old Testament. Either you accept it, all of it, or you accept none of it. So the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote the book of Romans. And in chapter 5, verse number 12, the Word of God talks about Adam. It says, wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered the world. It's like opening a door, entering. Sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That was a consequence. When God says, in the day that thou eatest thereof, the tree, thou shalt surely die. It literally means, dying you shall die. In other words, they wouldn't eat the apple like a poisoned apple and just keel over dead. Not die like that. But they would begin the progressive process of physically dying. But they also spiritually died. And that is the most horrible thing about it. They spiritually died just like that. As soon as they disobeyed, they died spiritually. And they needed to be reconciled to God. For the next 4,000 years, lambs were used for sacrificing and covering the people's sins. There was what looked like a tiny ray of hope for mankind in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. If you want to turn there with me, hold your place there in Romans. Sixth finger in it. Genesis chapter 3, and verse number 15. You know, God knew all this was going to happen. And so before even Adam and Eve were put onto the earth, He had a plan A. He had plan A. You know, redemption wasn't plan B. God made this plan to redeem you and me from our sins before Adam and Eve were ever in this world. In Genesis chapter 3, verse number 15. This is when God tells Adam what he's going to do about this thing called sin and about this enemy called Satan. Satan isn't this little man dressed in red pajamas with a red pitchfork, by the way. Satan is attractive. I'll say that again. Satan is attractive. He doesn't come with this horrible, guttural, throaty voice to tempt people, because that would spook everybody. That'd freak everybody out. He's a smooth talker. He has a carefully crafted temptation just for you. And if you're not aware, you'll fall to it. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. This is part of the curse. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, the snake and the woman. That's to make them enemies. That's why most of us are afraid of snakes. And between thy seed and her seed, between the devil's seed and the seed of man. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now let me explain what that means. When God says to Adam, thou shalt bruise his heel, he's referring to the offspring of Adam 4,000 years down the road. And the thing that will get crushed is the serpent, Satan. See, what happened when Jesus died on the cross is that Jesus, it's almost like he took his heel and he went on the head of Satan, who bruised his heel, almost like reaching up to bite his heel, if you think about it that way. But God put Satan down. God was victorious. And way back in the very beginning, just after they sinned, he revealed his plan to save them. It's just amazing. You know, that didn't take God by surprise. I've been taken by surprise. I've learned not to scare my wife because she doesn't like it. We all get taken by surprise. Adults, those of you who drive, just the other day, I was just at the Asda here in Cardiff, and I was in a go straight or turn right. I'm deliberately going opposite so you can see. Go straight or turn left lane. The lady who is on the other side was in a right turn only lane. My light turns green. She's committed to turn right. She has to turn right. She's in the right turn only lane. I started to go. She turns in front of me to go left. What? Yes, I did use that little thing in the front of the steering wheel to let her know she shouldn't be in front of me. She startled me. None of us like being startled. But God wasn't startled by this. It didn't take him by surprise. And so, because of it, a long time later, about 36 AD, AD 36, a different lamb was used. And he's the Lamb of God. If you would, turn back to Romans chapter 5 and go to verse number 19. We're still talking about Adam here. Mankind, day 6, they were created, and we don't know how much beyond day 6 they sinned, but it wasn't straight away. Romans 5, verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, who do you think that might be? Adam, you're right. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. It's almost like a disease passing from one person to the next, to the next, to the next. If for some reason I had a horrible disease, and I had a son, and because he came through me, because he's my son, he also has this disease. His fault? No. Is it your fault you are born with a sin nature? No. So you're a sinner, not by choice, but by position when you're born. But when you reach the age of accountability, that's what some of us adults call when a child reaches a point where they know the difference between right and wrong, and then they choose to do wrong, then by choice, they're sinners. So Adam passed along this desire to be one's own authority. And when I decide I'm going to be my own authority, I won't answer to anyone. By the way, just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean I don't answer to anybody. In fact, God places a very serious thing on pastors, that they are answerable to him as well as to the church. Judgment Day could be a fearful thing for pastors because they're held accountable for lots of things. But we all want to go our own way. And it's because of this desire in us called the sin nature. And so because of this, as you know, Jesus allowed himself to be nailed to a cross of wood to suffer death for you, to substitute. And just like the lambs of old were slain to cover the people's sins, the Lamb of God was slain to cleanse your sins and mine. What a picture that is. A lamb slain on an altar. Christ right there. By the way, what event were they getting ready for when Jesus died on the cross? Might be a bit of a difficult question to ask. What's that? Well, that was 3 days later, yeah. Anyone know the event they were getting ready for? Passover. In Passover, they would kill a lamb. But you know what? After Jesus died, no more lambs needed to die. Because the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, died to fix the problem of the first Adam. So 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22. 1 Corinthians is just one book over to the right. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22. Again, the New Testament says all sorts of things about Adam, the Adam you know of. And it says, "For as in Adam all die." That's that thing that he passed along to every person, that sin nature. And we choose to sin, and therefore we'll die because of it. "As in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Now that's a wonderful thing, because we messed up. By the way, you are the sons and daughters of Adam. My dad and mom's name are Glenn and Lois. But ultimately, I'm not their son. I'm Adam's son. They didn't ultimately give me my sin nature. Adam did. Way back when. "For as an Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." We needed another Adam. The last Adam. To do what the first Adam could not do. Keep the law perfectly. Remember, the sacrifice must be unable to sin. And Jesus, the Lamb of God, was unable to sin. You realize that? Even in his temptation, Matthew chapter 5, 6, 7, 8, the temptation in the wilderness, he wasn't able to sin. He couldn't sin. He was there to prove that he had conquered sin. He was there to prove that he was the perfect Lamb of God. Unable to sin. If you just look across the page to verse number 45. Again, we're talking about Adam here. "And so it is written, the first Adam was made a living soul." Where is it written? Well, we read it before. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. "The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit." Quickening means living, to make alive. Jesus kept the law perfectly. Jesus was flawless. We sang last year. Remember last year's youth camp? We sang the song, "Flawless." Jesus was flawless. And he not only died, but he rose again from the dead. And he's alive today and can bring you back to life after you've sinned. We've all sinned. And he can bring you into a right relationship with God. The cross made a way. Made the only way. For you to have your sins forgiven and forgotten. You and I know how to forgive people. Forgiveness is basically not holding that person's transgression against them any longer. Formally. But forgetting, we forget hurts in a very difficult way. It's hard to forget hurts, isn't it? I remember hurts that people did years ago. I choose not to hold it against them. And the greater the hurt, the greater the temptation it is to hold it against them, even after you've forgiven them. We're not perfect after we've forgiven them. But God's a perfect forgiver. And he's got a really good forgetter. He forgets what you did. He literally takes it and buries it in the bottom of the sea. He says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Sin is anything I think, say, or do that doesn't please God." You don't have to know the Bible cover to cover to know what a sin is. He's given you a conscience. And if you're saved, He's given you the Holy Spirit. And you know the difference between right and wrong. The cross made the way for you to have your sins forgiven and forgotten. That's why Jesus is the last Adam. There's two Adams in the Bible. Day six, mankind. Man lived on, onwards a bit. Adam sinned. He messed up. In fact, he messed it up for all of us. But you know what we can't do? We can't choose to sin and blame it on Adam. He did it. She did it. In fact, you remember from the reading, from reading in Genesis, when they were told off by God, hey, what have you done? What did Adam do? The woman you gave me. She gave me the fruit. God goes over to Eve. What do you think you're doing? Serpent. He tempted me. He beguiled me. Deceived me. Lied to me. God goes over to the serpent and says, you're cursed. Then he goes to Eve and says, childbirth is going to be very difficult for you. And you're going to want the authority position that your husband has. And then he comes over to Adam and he says, when you plow the ground, it's going to be really, really tough for you. You're going to have to get through thorns and thistles. By the sweat of your brow, you'll have food. Work will intensify and become really, really horrible, difficult. Fast forward 6,000 years to today, 2017. I love camp, but we've got to come down to a serious point. Sketches are funny and they're great and all, but we've got to come down to a serious point. Have you ever accepted the last Adam? You're not good enough. I'm not good enough. If I had 10 people lined up on the stage here who you thought were really, really, really good people, all 10 of us together could not redeem one of you, no matter how good a person you are. Only with the precious blood of Jesus Christ can you be redeemed. I wonder, in a group this size, surely, for some of you who've never put your faith in Jesus Christ, you've never believed and received Him as Savior. You know it up here, because I told you, and Kevin told you, and Matt told you, and you've heard it at church, but it's all up here. You've never put it here. You've never taken it on board. You've never said, God, will you please forgive me of my sin? I believe in what you did, Jesus, to die on the cross for my sin and rising again from the dead. I believe in that. Will you save me? And He will. And you'll know it. It'll be like this weight lifts off of you. Not literally, but you'll know what I mean. And you do know what I mean if you're saved. But you will know what I mean when you transfer your trust from yourself to God. It's an authority thing. Adam said, I'm going to be my own God. You and I today, sometimes, we say, I'm in charge. You can't tell me what to do. I'm in charge. Even the adults here, we're not ultimately in charge. God is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We bow before your awesome presence. We thank you, Lord, for sending that last Adam. Lord, the perfect Adam who came and suffered and bled and died in our place to buy our pardon, to buy our freedom, the freedom from sin, from its condemnation, from it damning us to hell. Lord, you freed us from it, those of us who placed our faith in you. We thank you for that. Lord, it's not your will. You don't want anybody to perish in hell. But your will, your desire is that all should come to repentance, that all should be saved. I pray, my Lord, that you would cause these children, the ones who don't know you as Savior yet, to put their faith in you, to understand what happened on day six and beyond and realize the first Adam messed up and so I've messed up by choice. So, Lord, I pray that they would take that choice and take their chooser and choose you. Lord, take that desire and place it upon you. Place a trust upon you. Young people with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, no one looking around, I just want to ask, is there one of you just not really sure about, am I really saved? I'm not really sure. Would you just lift your hand and put it right back down? I'm not really sure. I'm not 100% sure. that I've been saved from my sins. No one looking around. Every eye bowed and every eye closed. Maybe you're here today and you're struggling with something. You say, I'm already saved, but I'm really, really struggling with something today. And I need you to pray for me, Pastor Joshua. Would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand up and put it right back down? I'm struggling with something. Amen. Thank you for your honesty. Father in heaven, we come before you. I thank you for the honesty of the young people this evening. We ask you that you would help them meet their heart's desires, meet them where they are. And I know you will, my Lord. And cause them to know the beginning from the end of the solution to whatever they're going through, whether it's a struggle with your authority or human authorities. Lord, I pray that they would bow the knee this evening and surrender to you. We ask these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can look this way. We're going to conclude with a short sketch. So those of you who are involved in the sketch, would you get in your places? And this is not